The views and opinions presented on this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or MIT. This is Terribles. WMBR, Cambridge, 88.1 FM.
Hello, and welcome to TerraVoice, 9 to 9:30 p.m. every Wednesday. This is Emily Moberg, your friendly producer and reporter for this season. TerraVoice is MIT's loud and proud environmental news, music, and science show. Tonight is the last show in the programming season, so I'm very excited tonight to bring you the world premiere of The Heated Future, A Timely Tale. So, students from the freshman program TerraScope have spent the last year researching carbon capture and sequestration. And over spring break, they traveled to Abu Dhabi to visit Masdar, a state-of-the-art, work-in-progress city that aims to be entirely carbon neutral. With interviews and sounds they collected from their travels, and an incredibly huge amount of creativity, they wrote, performed, and edited the radio drama you're about to hear. And we also have a couple of students with us in the studio, so afterwards you'll get to actually hear from them instead of me. Okay, so let's give it a listen.
It is the 22nd century. The air is hazy and polluted, and most people no longer find it bearable. There are no more birds because, well, they just could not handle the air. Some say they all just left one day. The weather is wild, and it is impossible to tell when the next storm will be. The soil is too harsh to grow most plants, and people are starving. Despite this, they go on leading relatively normal lives. This story unfolds with the plight of three teenagers, Avi, Rundel, and Ignatius.
Hey, Avi. Ignatius, wait up.
Come on, Rundel. We're not even walking that quickly.
I know, Avi. It's just that my lungs can't take it anymore.
Oh, Rundel, you sound like an old man. Why don't you just take the bus?
Ignatius, you know it's Thursday. No vehicles allowed on the road. That's the law. Besides, buses will only make my lungs worse.
And Rundel was completely right. You see, his bad lungs were a result of the high concentrations of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Rundel's very sensitive lungs only got worse each day as the air got more saturated with pollution.
I guess you're right, Rundel.
Of course he is, Ignatius. Besides, you shouldn't be one to criticize. Look at the way you're sweating. It's like you just came out of a shower or something.
That's gross.
I'm just overheating. Hey, there's the cold ration stand. Let's cool down before we all get heat strokes like we did last week.
Yeah, sure.
I sometimes wonder if this is normal.
Huh?
You know, that we get heat strokes from staying outside too long? That I have these terrible lungs? I wonder if it's just the way it is, or I don't know.
Well, I don't want a heat stroke now. Let's get some cold ration.
As the three walked up to the cold ration man, they noticed something peculiar. The cold ration man was not at his usual corner, but exactly 3 meters to the south of his usual spot. Exactly 3 meters to the north of him was a glistening silver shell that shimmered eerily in the pale sunlight above, humming with light and mystery.
Whoa! What is that?
What's with that large, old-looking metallic box on your corner, Cold Ration Man? Is the city making a new dump zone?
I don't know. It's been there since I got here this morning. Maybe it's a dumping zone. But that sure doesn't look like any trash I've seen before.
That's weird. I wonder what it is. Let's go check it out.
There's a note on it stuck to a big red button. Hey, look, it has our names on it.
Ignatius, don't be so loud.
Why not?
It feels like we should be quiet or something.
A note? What? Who's it from?
It says, within the space-time machine lies the power to change the world. A-R-I.
Space-time machine? And who is Ari?
That's ridiculous. I think someone's trying to pull a prank on us.
Well, let's just try it. See what happens.
I don't know about this, guys.
I still want my gold ration.
Where's your sense of adventure? Ignatius, push the button.
Ignatius, don't press it.
Really? Is this all they can come up with?
This is such a lame prank.
Ah! What was that?
Whoa! Ouch!
Are you guys all right?
Cooldown sequence initiated. Reversing neutron flow polarity. Recalibrating relativistic sensors. Estimated time remaining. 48 hours.
I'm okay. I just got sand in my mouth. What on earth was that?
Where are we?
It's all sand dunes, as far as I can see. I don't know. It sounds crazy, but it must be the future. I think it really was a space-time machine. We know the future now. Global warming keeps getting worse and turns everything into desert. And I guess we can't go back for 2 days.
And Evie was almost exactly right. She, Rundle, and Ignatius had just participated in a journey through space and time in a space-time machine. You see, that strange contraption they had thought to be a prank had not transported them to the future, but to the past.
Look over there. What on earth is that?
Is that a camel? But camels have been extinct for at least 100 years. When are we?
Oh, we must be in the past. Right, like that could happen. It's some sort of prank. Time machines don't exist.
Suddenly, a strange figure appeared, staring straight at the travelers.
You three! I've told you kids 100 times, don't wander away from the tour.
It was a tour guide.
We've got a busy day planned. After the camel ride is the tour of Mazda, and then the belly dancing workshop. And so help me God, I'm not losing another student in this desert.
And before Evie, Rundle, and Ignatius could do any more, they were whisked away and quickly incorporated into a tour group. The group, as luck would have it, as luck often does, was there to view an interesting city called Mazdar. As the three soon discovered, they had landed in a desert in Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates.
You don't want to miss Mazdar City. I hate my job.
Mazdar? What's that?
It must be where we are.
I just want to get back to the time machine and figure out what's really going on.
Shh, guys, someone's talking now.
Mazdar City is the best project in the world, and I'm saying that with a smile on my face. Think about it. It's the world's first zero-waste, carbon-neutral city. And there's a lot of talk about zero-carbon, zero-waste cities around the world, but none have been built. I mean, it's a tremendous challenge. It's great.
Wow, this place sounds really cool. Do we actually get to see it?
Listen up. I think someone's going to give us instructions.
Okay, good afternoon. My name's Robert. I'm one of the safety managers here for Mazda. I've been asked to come and give you a short briefing on what you can and can't do on our project. What you can't do is take any of our trucks and drive them around the site. You can't go climbing ladders. You can't throw things at people. I wouldn't feed anybody out there if I were you. Other than that, as long as you stay together, you stay near the bus. You're going to stop in a couple of areas where you can get off the bus and you'll be given a presentation.
And of course, Robert's words held true. The three soon discovered what Mazdar was by going on the tour that Robert had promised.
And this city is renowned because it's supposedly completely self-sustainable, in that it doesn't rely on any sort of conventional fuel technologies, but rather geothermal and solar power and wind power and various renewable technologies. But interesting place.
I think its scope's obviously bigger than Abu Dhabi. This is probably one of the most important architectural commissions in the world in terms of what it's trying to do. Previously, you've had a building that might try and champion one aspect of sustainable design. Here, you've got a city, trying to doing everything from first principles, building a whole city as a sustainable city. That's quite an achievement. I mean, you could argue that the biggest surprise is there aren't 20 of these projects around the world, bearing in mind where we are at the moment with climate change.
That's crazy. The city is going to be made entirely sustainable.
That means cleaner air? Ever since we got here, I haven't been out of breath once.
Now that you mention it, I've felt different myself.
I wonder if that has anything to do with the air.
It probably does. It makes sense, right? Yeah. Our parents always said that back in their day, things were better. Well, now we are back in their day. And the city is trying to reduce pollution. We try to do it in our time, but it's too late.
Keep up with the group.
Hey, let's catch up with the tour.
You know, I can drive you all back to the desert and leave you there. I hate you people. Make my life miserable. Come on, people, on to the next speaker. Keep up. We've got a packed schedule.
I think there'll be key learnings that the rest of the world can take and adapt. Masdar is investing in something that the rest of the world could take advantage of. The rest of the world could benefit from them, putting the money and the resources and the people and the manpower and trying to make it work. We're very keen about pointing out the mistakes this place makes will be huge, but there'll be mistakes that the rest of the world can learn from as well.
Will you make the rest of the world do the same thing?
Come, look at us, see what we're doing. Masdar's saying, let's work on these things together and develop them, and if it's relevant to where you live and you can take our learnings and develop them, then that's where it'll be real benefit. So it's pretty cool.
So how will you get people to follow you?
I think Masdar has a very strong corporate brand, and a lot of people around the world know what Masdar is and what it's doing. But if you actually look at the partners involved in putting this together, they come from all over the world. They're working with global partners on one initiative, and if those global partners can make advances here, then that'll spread or be a ripple effect elsewhere around the world.
So the city's like an experiment? That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it seems like these people are trying to prevent some future catastrophe.
They're trying to prevent our future.
That's so weird. I mean, I just always assumed that the way we lived was the only way it could ever be. I never thought that it could be more bearable. Hey, we're going inside. Is this some sort of cafeteria?
Indeed, the three had entered the cafeteria of the Masdar Institute of Science and Technology. The students were sitting and chatting casually.
Hey, I'm Rundle. These are my friends Avi and Ignatius. We've been touring Masdar all day and we're wondering what you thought about it. Do you guys think it'll work?
I think so. Well, I hope so more than I think so. Because, nothing works as theory proposes, really. But I hope it will work. I hope it will work. Yeah, I have big hopes, I would say, that it will work, according to what I saw so far.
Every great act in this world needed a push at the beginning, and it is actually that Masdar started this push to a more sustainable future, and that by itself is a great achievement. What impact will it have? We will see, but I think it will have a very deep impact.
What we keep saying about Masdar City is that one day all cities will be built that way, and I truly believe so. I think in the next 100 years, if not all cities are built that way, the whole human race will be in trouble.
Well, that guy was certainly wrong. The future cities weren't built like Masdar. Look where we came from.
I think the most likely reason is that the rest of the world didn't follow Masdar's footsteps. Like the guy said, this is just one of those things. It's got to be the whole world and not just one city.
We should stick around and find out what went wrong.
I want to go back home once the time machine is ready. I mean, go forward home. I mean, being a time traveler is confusing.
Being a time traveler is depressing. It's like reading a book when you already know that everyone dies at the end. I need a drink first.
Aren't you underage? We're like negative a million years old.
I'm with Rundle. Drinks, anyone?
The pub was dimly lit and the tables were graying with age. The three sat down at a table with a man visiting from the UK and a few of his friends.
Is that a newspaper? There's a lot of talk about global warming and climate change.
Yeah, the future looks pretty darn bleak. Hey, have you read this article? What do you think about climate change?
Shall I be honest with you? I do not care about climate change.
All right.
I honestly do not give a shit. Because I feel that governments bring up climate change to control their population. And they are, we need to worry about this. We need to worry about this. Give us votes. And I don't actually think anything's going to happen. And I think we're just brainwashed. That's honestly my opinion. That's deep, huh?
But climate change is such a huge problem right now. Haven't you heard about the things that could happen if we don't try to save our planet? There's a real reason the government tries to prevent people from wasting so much energy.
They tax us high for all white cause because of climate and things like that. That's not because of climate, that's because of money. That's what I think it is. If it was because of climate, then the MPs would be driving in hybrids and the Queen would be driving in hybrids, but they're not. They're in SL, they're in big S-classes, 5-litre S-classes and stuff. So they don't actually care, but they use it for a vote and they use it to control the population.
But you could lose everything if you don't try to do something. Just because the Queen is doing something wrong doesn't mean that you have to do it as well. Don't you like nature and all of the beautiful things in the world, like waterfalls and rainforests? I've never been to any of those, but I've heard they're amazing.
I care about things like chopping down trees and stuff, and the only reason for that is a selfish reason, so that I can visit rainforests and stuff. But
that's,
I'm gonna...
That's the only reason.
Yeah. It's selfish, completely selfish. And so I don't care what I've left for anyone else. It's really bad, really selfish, but it's just how I feel.
I can't bear to hear this anymore. Let's go. I hate it how they don't care. They don't even know what awaits them.
Is that what went wrong? Not enough people cared about saving the planet?
Well, let's not be too harsh. Those guys aren't to blame. No one is giving them a reason to care. If some world leaders are being hypocritical about it, it makes sense not to want to do anything. Why should they?
We know what will happen when people do nothing. Blaming it on the world leaders doesn't fix the problem.
Exactly. If your house is on fire, are you going to stand around and argue about who started it?
They don't understand the gravity. That made me even more upset.
Cheer up. I'm sure there are some people out there who think we should do something.
Yeah, we just heard a few opinions.
They went around and met more people who had some positive things to say.
I drive a small car, and I recycle, and I'm trying to do my bit, conserving water and that type of thing. But I think governments, and I think everyone can do things on a small scale, and those add up to bigger things. And I think we should be doing more of a thing for global warming and conserving our resources.
But what can we do? Not driving cars. This is one thing that each one of us can really do something. You don't have to drive it 7 days a week. Start with 3 days a week or whatever. Okay, and your ACs, for instance, in Abu Dhabi. Well, try to do something about your ACs. Do you need really to make them, put them on all day, all night? I mean, while you are awake, you can do them. While you are asleep, you can contribute to to global warming a little bit by putting them off. And I don't think that you'll wake up sweating, but you can take a shower.
See? There are some people willing to make sacrifices.
Yeah. You know, I wake up sweating every morning. It's funny to think that if we all save a bit of power, we might not need as much power to keep ourselves cool. It's like an endless loop or something. Hey, what's wrong, Rundle? You look troubled.
It's just, I was thinking about the space time machine. Who left it there for us? What were those initials ARI? Any ideas, AV?
Rundle?
Ignatius!
Oh!
AV, Rundle, Ignatius? ARI? It was us!
That means we must have sent the space time machine back. We sent it to ourselves, but why did we stay here?
Because we should stay here. We have to try to help the world change for the better. What those guys said in the bar shook me. I mean, it seems like they just don't understand that this is a serious problem.
But if we send the space-time machine back, we can never go home again.
I'm with Avi on this one. We can never see our friends or family again.
But Avi, what was so great about home anyway? We're the only people here who truly understand just how important it is to stop climate change. We have a duty to stay here and change the future.
You're right, Rundle. If we stay, maybe we can avert the catastrophe.
And so, Avi, Rundle, and Ignatius decided to leave their lives behind them to work towards a greater purpose, saving the future. Now the question arises, what are we doing to make our future as bright as possible? If we don't do anything, will there be a time machine for us to go back in time and undo our mistakes? How much do we care about the planet? How much do we care about ourselves and future generations?
So what do you think about Masdar?
Masdar? I hope it becomes real. I hope it becomes... it comes to life. And I hope that it will be a real carbon-free city.
Do you think the world leaders are doing enough to combat global warming?
I don't think so, because it's not just about their role, it's everybody's role on this planet.
What message do you think Master gives to the whole world?
Join us in our journey, simply because we won't be able to do it alone. We can walk for some time, but we need also some people to walk with us. And that's what it's about. We see people coming now, more and more and more. And we just have to keep that spirit. And the more we have people, the more, like, you know, success stories we're going to have. Just join us in our journey.
If you could change one thing about the world, like people's lifestyles, what would it be?
It's an important thing if we love others. If I think you like myself, I will never do anything bad to you. From the road, I will keep it clear. The atmosphere, the water, the life, everything. Smile. When I talk to you, smile. If we love others, that's a good idea.
This piece was produced by the students of Terrascope Radio.
Terrascope is a freshman learning community at MIT, part of the Office of Experiential Learning.
The program was written, voiced, and produced by
Zachary Barity,
Shrikant Bola,
Alexander Jordan,
Brian Joseph,
Alexander Kiesling,
Kenya Mejia,
Samuel Millington,
Allison Schneider,
and Shavinesh Sukesh,
with a special appearance by Ruth Weinrib.
All interviews were conducted in Abu Dhabi and other locations we visited during the Messiah Foundation Terrascope Field Experience.
We want to thank Ari Epstein, our instructor, and our teaching fellows, Elizabeth Jones and Adam Bockley, for all their guidance and patience.
We would also like to thank Sam Bowring for organizing the trip to Masdar, and Deborah Axel and Ruth Weinrib from the Terrascope office.
Thanks also to Tyler Thompson and John Lim for providing us with our own recording booth, and to Emily Moberg from Terra Voice.
Special thanks to everyone working on the Masdar initiative, especially the faculty, staff, and students of Masdar Institute of Science and Technology.
A
Okay, so first of all, I want to, I guess, congratulate all of the Terrascope radio students on an absolutely fantastic job on this very, very bold and exciting new piece. And also, I guess I would like to introduce the two of them that have deigned to join me here. So if you guys want to introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Allison Schneider, and I played AV.
Hi, I'm Srikant. I worked as from the production team. I'm a student of Terrascope Radio.
Awesome. So actually, I'm glad you already started to introduce yourself. Can you tell us, you never told us who all the characters were. Can you give a shout out to some of them?
I was Avi. Rundle was Sam Millington. Ignatius was Zach Barrady. The narrator was Alexander Kiesling. Who am I missing? The cold ration man was Alexander Jordan.
And I think, did you get the tour guide?
Oh, and the tour guide was Shavinesh Sukesh.
Awesome. Okay, so you gave me a nice thanks, which maybe you won't appreciate after I grill you. just kidding. So I guess I wanted to ask you guys, so what were you hoping when you made this piece that people were going to get out of it?
Well, we were hoping to create a piece that would tell people, number one, about the trip to Masdar, because we learned so much when we were in Abu Dhabi and wanted to have more people know about the project that's going on there. And we also wanted to sort of give a sense of, maybe through fiction, what global warming will actually do if we don't do anything about it.
Awesome. So I guess also on that vein about learning things, what did you guys, either from the fall semester at Masdar or through this kind of radio experience, what did you guys really get out of this?
I think it's time for everybody to realize their own part to reduce and stop this climate change. I mean, to say at some point of time it's going on increasing, and at some point of time it will even do a big disaster to human life. So everybody has a greater responsibility to realize and save the renewable energies and do their own part. This is our main aim to behind this piece, and I think we have exhibited through a radio drama.
Yeah, exactly. I think especially we learned in Masdar that there are so many people who are doing research on this and who really want to make a difference, and it's really about getting the word out there and having other people follow the example that the city's setting.
So you guys painted a pretty bleak future if we don't do anything. How scared are you that that's going to happen, and do you think that's going to be you guys in 10 years?
Well, we talked a lot about that when we were producing the piece. Some of us wanted to make a really depressing sort of post-apocalyptic worldview, and some people said, oh, well, no, like, we want to have a piece that's sort of uplifting. And I think we sort of struck a balance. We wanted... I definitely think that if we don't do anything, that climate change is happening and the consequences will be disastrous. But we wanted to show that the consequences will be great. And if it's sort of depressing in the future, then I guess that's what we're aiming for.
I think we have showed to a certain extent, but if no one does anything, then consequences will be even more greater in, you know, coming maybe hundreds of years. Because when we observe past 10 years, so many changes took in the climate, right? Earth's temperature is going on increasing and lots of things are happening. So I think everybody should react more quickly on this issue, and everybody should do their own job to reduce this.
Awesome. So we're kind of drawing near to the end of our show. So I want to ask one last question, which is, after all of this, if there's one kind of take-home message you want to give to people, last comments about either making the radio piece or what you hope people get out of it, comments on life, what would it be?
See, like, radio pieces are, I mean, any media, especially electronic media, impacts on people a lot than visual, than, you know, newspapers and articles. So this is our main aim, to make everybody listen to this kind of shows, because it's more accessible than other kind of media. So everybody has radio. So I think our main aim is people should realize, and they should try to, you know, take at least one or two things and follow in their day-to-day life. As some of the interviewers said, they can turn off the air conditioners when they were not when they were asleep. They can turn off the lights when they were not at home. So these are the small things that they can contribute from the home side, especially even in the rural areas, people can do this.
For me, I think what I took away from it most is what a cool project Masdar City is, and we really need to get more pressure to copy this sort of thing in cities across the world.
Okay, awesome. So this actually is drawing our show to a close. As always, feel free to shoot me comments at terravoice@mit.edu. You are listening to WMBR Cambridge. Up next is Books on the Radio with Jesse and Katie. So if you're interested, stay tuned for that. I will leave you right now with Nature's Son by the Beatles.
Singing songs for everyone.